settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. This week we'll be discussing dependence and substance abuse, and if you'd like to join us, the phone lines will be open. The number to call is 888-268-4313. That's 888-268-4313.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. If you'd like to know more about us, or our books, please go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. I'm a deep trance medium, and as usual, live on the show, I'll be bringing through our resident spirit expert, Gregory Hay, who will be speaking to you for the entire show. Gregory will just be temporarily borrowing my body, and as Sylvie said, if you have a question relating to our subject of discussion, then please do pick up the phone. We'd love to hear from you. So I'll hand over to Sylvie now. Have a great show, and hope all goes well. As you know, every one of these is an experiment.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Yeah. I'll just tell you a little bit more about Gregory Hay. He had an Earth life 300 years ago and has come back to help us with the benefit of his education and development in the spirit world. And apart from his many other tasks in the spirit world, Gregory is a spokesperson for an educational group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. He was asked to be the representative of the group, who consist of many, many great minds who want to help humanity and save our world. There are scientists, doctors, scholars of all description who are all behind the scenes as we speak. And our aim as the mediums for the group is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit, to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others, and to hopefully restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. As we said, if you want to know more about us or our books, our website is www.spirit-teaching.com. And again, once again, the number to call if you have some input to make to this show, it's 888-268-4313. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, dear friend.
How are you today?
I am very well, thank you. Never better.
Good, good.
With love and light, as always, dear friend.
Thank you, thank you. And today we'll be talking about, or you're going to be talking to us about dependence and substance abuse.
Yes, very well. The point of all of this is, I suppose, that people on your side of life feel that all of this dependence and substance abuse is to do with your society now. The problem has always seem to afflict humanity in some way or another at some stage. Much of past substance abuse has been for recreational purposes. I suppose you could say that there have been many different herbs, very many different remedies that have become narcotic in one form or another. So as humanity gradually struggled to find different remedies for their ailments, so it became that they actually also overdosed on some of these on occasions. And as luck would have it or not, gradually there became this dependence within some societies for recreational use of these different forms of chemical. Now, on your side of life at this particular time, I understand there are many who are in such great distress that they turn to certain substances which do not actually agree well with the human form. Although many would say, perhaps, that they have every right to become high, if you like. After all, they are in such deep recession of the mind or perhaps they are distressed from their work or from the social ethic which has placed them where they are. This, of course, is always going to be a problem. Morally, humanity struggles with itself in trying to defend those who are abused in some way or another, or who actually take, some form of delight in overseeing the abuse of others. After all, is it not true to say that many of those in humanity actually deal in slavery in some way or another, be it in a liberal sense, that it is something which is actually, in a sense, contrived for humanity to face? What I'm saying is that for many of you on your side of life, because you are compelled, as it were, to try to find material possession, even perhaps just to try to stay alive, it means that you have to put all of these different things into place in your life, to organize it in the way that is socially acceptable in order for you to be accepted by the mass,
mm-hmm.
by the group. In this way, what many of you may feel is a great sense of pressure. It is also to say that many of you may actually suffer from particular substance abuse, which is actually derived from medication that you had first of all begun taking at the behest of medical advice or whatever because of some orderly complaint that you had had, which could have been socially unacceptable to begin with. Perhaps you had some form of mental behavior or some such thing which was not quite cohesive to the social norm. In that way, you were then subject to the actual discipline of whether you continued to take this substance or perhaps you were prescribed it and that you were ordered to take it. In which case, perhaps then, you are left with the scenario of what you actually do with your life whilst you are under this influence of this narcotic behavior.
Yes.
There will be some who are indigenous peoples, perhaps, to a certain place, and they will quite often be the subject of substance abuse. And this is because of their low estate, the low way that they see themselves, that they view themselves. And this is because, in the main, they are a trampled people. They have become the underlings of your world. Quite simply, they've become superfluous to your world because their own spiritual ancestry is something that no longer is a part of their present life. So it is an access that has been denied to them. Therefore, for many, they turn to abuse because of their sadness, their inner turmoil at the aggression that they have faced as a community and as a whole race.
Escapism.
Well, it is a form of escapism, I agree, but it is also an element which is to do with the social upheaval of what humanity, in its struggle to defend its rights and that kind of thing, that it also actually steamrollers over certain people's very sensitive natures. And so what you find is that there will be sections of people who are, because of racial discrimination which has occurred to them and continues to be in that way in their lives, you will find perhaps that the only thing that they can do for solace is to turn to some form of narcotic or substance abuse, be it alcohol or drug dependency.
Mm-hmm.
Drug dependency itself may have been brought about in many different ways. It may have been something that was there just as a part of their adolescent life, and that just through normal adverse development, it became that these unfortunates continued to trace that form of life, continued to walk it and be it.
So a lot of these came were actually legal to start with.
Well, yes, quite so. Mm-hmm. Most certainly in the case of medication. And also, I have to say, in the case of many indigenous peoples who would have perhaps taken to various herbal remedies or whatever, as in the natural state or natural case of how they would deal with certain situations in their lives.
Mm, yes.
Do not forget that some used certain narcotic in order for spiritual revelation and that kind of thing.
And, a lot of actually, in the past, cocaine, you could buy cocaine at Harrods and places like that. I mean, it was actually sold for social purposes, and commercially manufactured cigarettes and chocolates used to have it in it. In fact,
yes.
Coca-Cola had, I didn't know, I'm so naive, I didn't realize that Coca-Cola used to contain it.
Yes, quite so.
But
puts a whole new meaning on it, does it not?
Well, it does, yes. I mean, yes. I think the leaves are still used, but it doesn't contain the drug.
No, quite so.
But, in pre-Columbian times, Inca used to use cocaine for religious, social, and nutritional and medical properties.
Yes, quite so. And this is, I suppose, part of the point is that these are usually medicinal remedies in the first instance. It is just that because of depression of society or the ways that pressures of a society place upon their various sections of the community group, it means that they are more susceptible to these pressures because they feel ostracized, because they feel left out. They are not part of the material gain of wealth that you perhaps expect in life. And so, that being the case, depression becomes the instigator of this set of well-being. How else are they going to feel enough well-being if they are denied all mechanical means of obtaining that elusive material wealth?
Yes, absolutely. So they feel
so. It is a part of the social structure and how the demands are made upon a society, mm-hmm. and how they have to be met or dealt with in some other way through the lack of their meeting.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. And if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, then the phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. The number is 888-268-4313. That's 888-268-4313. I mean, and alcohol, of course, is legal, and that's one of the worst ones.
Absolutely. So is tea and coffee.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, you see, these also may, because of their caffeine content, actually become a form of addictive use.
Yes.
And so you could say then, surely, that as a theoretic, will have a certain effect upon the well-being of the person who takes it. Perhaps some people drink copious amounts of it in order to stay awake for driving a vehicle or something like that, you
mm-hmm.
see. These are all parts of the pressures of your form of living standard that is expected of you in order for you to meet goals and targets to help you to sustain life beyond the normal measure of what it would be.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, even to wake you up in the morning, people say, oh, I can't do anything unless I've had a cup of coffee.
Or two or three,
yeah.
Yes, quite so.
Or people can't sleep without alcohol or a sleeping tablet, barbiturate, or whatever.
Yes, alcohol is actually quite a different set of regimen which has to be dealt with in a different way because it is so insipid. Mm-hmm. And although it is through every fabric of present-day society as we view it from our side of life, mm-hmm. and is perhaps the arbiter of many of the ways in which people from your side of life are suddenly brought to our side of life, mm-hmm. through one way or another, traffic yeah. accidents or whatever it is. After all, I myself was, I suppose, in part a victim of a road traffic accident due to alcohol. Mm-hmm. And so you could say then that this is something that has stretched back through hundreds of years, mm-hmm. and indeed it has. Yeah. There have been many beings who have actually parted company with physical life due to alcohol. And it is, as I say, through this insipid way in which alcohol becomes actually a part of the fabric. I understand there are some societies who do not allow it at all. It may well be that this could be a good case in point of keeping people in a level-headed situation. After all, you do not really need alcohol in order to be able to communicate. Although people appear to find alcohol relieves pressure of the symptoms of the day, and therefore it is something which is not only just a stimulant, but also it frees the mouth, as it were.
The truth juice.
Yes, I suppose so.
Yes, yes. Oh, no, I didn't say that. Yes, absolutely. It lowers inhibitions, doesn't it? Loss of shyness. It makes people relax with everybody, basically.
Yes, quite so.
So that it reduces the activity of the nervous system, then, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because people say, you would think that alcohol makes you high, but actually it's a depressing effect on the nervous system, isn't it?
That is quite true, because obviously after so many of them, a certain amount of the intake, you then become moribund, you become morbid, you become morose about what you have not achieved. Mm-hmm. It is as though it has overfilled your wishes mm-hmm. and your desire to affect change in your life, because in reality it is such a truthful narcotic that actually what it enables you to do is to look in a slurred way into how you have defeated yourself.
Yes. So you go from being happy to being morose. Really?
Yes.
That is the only word for it.
And for many people, what actually happens during this time, this event, if you like, of the alcoholic stage, that what then happens is that that moroseness, that loss, that sense of unfulfillment in self, then turns to anger, personal anger over what you have not achieved, and also anger toward others, whom you are then more visioned to seeing as obstructive to your behavior. So that rather than you facing it being your own fault or your own understanding, mm-hmm. your own dealings with physical life, it then becomes someone else's fault. And that is why so much violence is brought about through alcoholic abuse.
Yes, I see. And, you know, the amount of people that make so many great plans when they have been, you know, having a drink of the evening, and then the next morning it's just all forgotten. All that enthusiasm has just gone out of the window.
Yes, quite so. And instead is replaced with a headache.
Yes. Yes.
And a dry mouth.
Yes. So, yes. I mean, so basically it's because of it's because of the loss of the shyness. It's the feelings of well-being and the feelings that you can do all these different things, isn't it? And then without it, you haven't got them.
Yes, and that is actually only really a very short window.
Mm.
Now, it may well be, of course, that with certain native tribes or whatever who were never used to alcohol in the first place, they were abused, if you like, by the introduction of alcohol to them, and that actually what happened was that it left them completely incompetent, which of course is what they wanted to do. It was a good way of subduing a whole class of society, a whole race, if you like, of one particular faction of society you did not want to be involved in what you wanted to do. And it is a means of control that societies have upon those sections of their own beings, if you like, their own contributors, whom they actually sometimes wish or would like to see less of. Therefore, I suppose, in a way, it is as though they have given them this ability to go and use this substance and then decry the fact that it is being abused in the first place.
Mm.
Yes. Yet it is still possible to make vast fortunes upon the abuse of others.
So, with all of these drugs, though, it's the euphoria, the short-lived euphoria that you get from them that keeps people trying to reenact that each time that they hope that they reach that point each time they have a drink?
Yes, of course, because the first time that it happens to them, it may well be, of course, that the actual moment of the euphoria is only short-lived, yet they will want to keep on revisiting that moment because they forget in the aftermath of the euphoria, exactly what it was truly like.
So when does the psychological and physical dependence, swap?
Yes, well, I suppose you could say psychologically that what then happens is that because you gain this euphoria in one instance, it means that it is something that you want to revisit again and again, a little like going down a slide or swinging on a swing or whatever. It is the feeling that it gives you, the way in which you are exhilarated beyond your normal standing, motionless state. So it is something which invigorates you, that brings about a reaction that you agree with, that brings certain pheromonic activity to your mind, to your senses, to the chemical balance of your physical state, in order for you to then be something other than your normal, boring self.
Yes. So a psychological dependence can be through thoughts and emotions and activities that need to continue because it becomes a craving or a compulsion.
Yes, quite so. And of course it is a compulsion which gathers momentum.
Mm.
It is something that you look for, that you search for, that you actually organize your day around bringing this about, this event in your life. It is something for you to look forward to through all of the pressure of the day that it exerts upon you. So instead of all of the demands that are made upon you, you are eventually rewarded by this uncensored piece of time that you have involved in.
Yes, and I suppose it's catching, not that I advocate any of them really, but I mean, it's catching, like say for instance with alcohol, because that's a legal thing that most people have had at some time, catching it before it actually turns into a physical dependence. Isn't it? It's knowing where to draw the line.
Yes.
Everybody can look forward to having a drink.
Yes. The problem, however, becomes that in doing that, that many people then fail to realize that they are actually revolving, as I say, their day's events around the consumption of it, which means that then you actually do have somewhat of a problem.
Yes.
Because you are not only organizing your day around it, and that may be something that people just wish to do. It is their freedom to do it, after all. But that it is to do with the realization that must come afterward in understanding that what this is doing is actually organizing your character. It is changing the character value of what you see hold dear in your life, what you love, and your experience of loving vibrations within you. Your sensory perception changes and alters through different abuse that you allow yourself to put yourself through.
Mm.
It is your intention of use, your the way in which you decide through your judgment or lack of it that you are rewarding yourself for these plights of the day.
Yes.
And instead of actually rewarding yourself, what you are doing is you are casting yourself into a deeper abyss.
Yeah.
That is something which during the time that you are consuming it, you do not realize you are committing yourself to this practice. And then it becomes a cyclical event. It is something that you look forward to, as I say, organize in your life. You organize your day around it. It becomes the evolutionary part of your day's event. It is something perhaps which helps you to recover from the pressure that you have been placed upon as a society member.
Cope with life.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, once it gets to the case where it's controlling you, and it's actually a physical dependence, then that's when the trouble really starts, isn't it?
Absolutely so. And so then, to begin with the actual physical dependence, and I'm afraid that we're going to have to stop here for a moment, because you are going to have to repeat the experiment we tried just a few days ago.
Oh, okay.
Which means that I will have to make my excuse and leave momentarily whilst you pour water down our dear friend's throat.
Okay. You want a drink? All right. I have to concentrate here, everybody.
One moment. I haven't left yet.
Okay. Okay, everybody. Nick's had a cold and a cough, and we did...
Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, we did that for the first time on live on a show the other night. We didn't know if it was going to work or anything, because we'd never done it before.
But, thank you so.
Okay. Does that feel better?
I believe it will work now.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. One day you'll have to tell us how you did that.
Yes, I do. It is actually to do with what we have to do is we have to relax the throat muscles, because what we do when we are engaged in this kind of situation, we are actually using and manipulating the whole configuration of the throat muscles which bring air, and also, of course, we are using the lungs to a certain extent. We are deflating them and inflating them in order to produce air to push it across the vocal cords in order to be able to form words and speak. We are also, of course, able to manipulate the tongue and other mouth parts in order to form shapes of sounds of words.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually what we are doing in the process. It is a part of the way in which we, on our side of life, have constructed this mechanism in order to actually make it of value.
So you said to me just then that I was going to pour the water down into your mouth, and you said that you hadn't gone yet. Where did you go?
Well, I had to step back to the mechanism itself, which is set some 3 feet to the right-hand side of our dear friend here.
Okay.
And I had to step back over to there whilst others of the scientific group were in control of our dear friend's physical shell, if you like.
Oh, right. And they swallowed.
And they swallowed.
Right. Okay. Okay, I think.
They also actually produced a form of scented oil, which should have lubricated the throat as well.
All right.
So hopefully that will do it until the end of the program.
Okay. All right. An etheric oil.
Yes, quite.
What's that made of?
I can't tell you.
All right. Okay.
It's a secret recipe.
Okay.
Hello, Gregory Hay. It's a pleasure. This is Donald Newsom.
Hello, dear friend. How wonderful to speak with you.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you. Actually, we do have a caller online, and they really have enjoyed your program, and they wanted to get online with you. Are you taking calls?
Yes, sure.
You got it. I will put them online immediately. Gregory, I love you.
Thank you so much, my friend.
Hi, Gregory.
Hello, friend. Do speak up.
It's a pleasure to speak with you and Nick and Sylvie.
Hi.
I would just like to ask, the governments have oftentimes tried to poison people with drugs. Do we still see that going on, where people are encouraged for a certain reason to drink or smoke more?
Still see that going on? Yes. I have to say that many people do identify with somehow there being a will by governmental sources to try to inflict alcohol upon the unwitting folk of others. That this is a form of power and control. And of course, I cannot deny, my dear friend, that this was something which was used as substance abuse and power and control in the past. As I said, many native groups have been subject to such controls in order to subjugate them, in order to make them feel worth less, so they would be overpowered spiritually and factually, so that they were unable to actually object to the things that were happening to them and around them. This is also true, of course, of Aboriginal groups of many other countries, not just Native Americans. It was also to do with Aborigines, with Maoris to a certain extent, although they actually still retain quite a large portion of their own semblance of understanding. They still are able to keep a large portion of their spiritual belief and their upliftment from that belief intact. It appears, however, that for certain reasons, that perhaps it is one of acquiring land or whatever, that many people's actually had their rights signed away for them on behalf of future generations of their tribe, perhaps from their ancestors of whatever tribal conclusions were brought to bear at that time. They signed many different agreements, many documents which actually confiscated even their own rights to be human beings. Do not forget this, that many people actually had to absolve their own tribal name in the whole use of alcohol. That they would be denied alcohol if they would not sign away their rights to their natural heritage, their ancestral heritage of their tribal domain, or perhaps even to their rights as a native to be a member of that tribe. And this is still happening today. There is still a situation, as I understand, within many native groups of North America and to some extent South America as well, that there are these many tribal groups who, if they, because of the fact that their parents or whosoever who were then became addicted to alcohol, that they then in fact became so sotted with it that they had to sign away their tribal right of heritage for their ancestors in order that they would keep being supplied with the alcohol they desired and were completely dependent upon. And this is something, as I say, which still continues in regard of the very fact that racial divides depict that you are only entitled to your ancestral land or home heritage if, so long as you are at least one quarter of that actual race. Now, by the whole dominion, it will be that tribes throughout the histories of their survival always intermarried with other tribes, always brought in other blood, quite simply to ensure their genetics, to ensure their healthy genetic stock. After all, show me a family who has been interbred, who has, through incest, bred and bred of their own genetic line. They will then, you will then see that there are many different deformities and malfunctions of genetics which will occur within it. That is why you have the whole inner relationship of your breeding cycle, the way that you are attracted to certain people. This isn't just a genetic familiarity. It isn't just something of hormones that are directing you towards certain people. It is something which is innate within your ancestral understanding. It is a part of your survival, just the same as any other species on your side of life. Anyway, I actually detract from the question and the point. There will be times when you may cite that certain governments will try to manipulate or dominate certain peoples through substance abuse, the release perhaps of certain drugs or whatever in order to keep children quiet who are perhaps just really inquiring or that will not actually bend to the will or the order that society wishes upon them. This may be something which could have dangerous side effects in a long-term resume of that society. I'm not saying that this is particular to every case, of course. There will be certain situations where children will need the help and the benefit of a certain short course of a certain medication in order to help the physical ability to be more directed so that they are more grounded or that their flighty mind, shall we say, is brought under better control so that they can actually educate themselves and understand better. And I understand all of that, and there are certain situations which of course warrant it. However, I feel that there is also a danger here, and I know that I'm detracting from the certain substance abuse situations, but this is also a case in point, I feel, as society must learn and understand that if you use a narcotic or a certain substance in a particular way, particularly with children, then you are running the risk of actually undermining certain sensitivities within that child, and individualism can be rubbed out within that child. Is this something that a society wishes to benefit from? The individuality of an of a person as so far identified within their own life, perhaps it is because of lack of care, perhaps it is because of lack of time, of being able to involve self in the way in which a child's behavior organizes within the whole group. Perhaps it may be that the child is somewhat disruptive in that nature, you see? And I know this is taking it upon a different tack, but I'm just saying that certain substance abuses can occur and can come about through quite indirect ways. Mm-hmm. It is not necessarily so direct that it is purely through alcohol, for example, that societies are dominated or whatever. It is also, as I'm trying to show you, that it is something that begins through medication for an actual prescribed amount for a prescribed reason, mm-hmm. and a reasoned account. And it is just because this then becomes something of use, because it quietens them, because it makes them less subtle, it means that they are more adaptable, or that they are more controllable by that society which wants people to be controlled. Quite simply.
Okay.
Gregory,
it could be said that there are those who wish to control the society through indirect means. It may be that they do this through a water supply, that perhaps by increasing the amount of aluminium or the amount of zinc or the amount of some other certain substance which actually has possible benefits to a society as a whole, does not necessarily mean that it affects everyone in that way. That is very often why certain people have the occasion of that they are then finding themselves aggravated by everything on your planet.
Like allergic to everything.
Yes, quite so.
That's quite common these days. Well, it's getting common.
Yes, and it will become more and more so, because when you are dealing with such things as water supply and what you are actually doing to fresh water, this is, I suppose, the actual very beginning of the envelope in how you would control a race.
Yes, absolutely.
It may well be, and could that not then be defined as a form of substance abuse? If you are bringing a form of narcotic or a different balance, shall we say, of mineral content or a different balance of chemicals, the chemical constituent of water that normally would appear through the percolation of sedimentary rock, etc., during the filtration process, actually becomes quite different if you are allowing people who are downstream of you to have to drink your effluent, for example.
Yes.
Yes, if you are actually changing the very volume of water through the things that come through your system, is that not then also some form of possible abuse of self? If you are having to ingest chemicals that you would not otherwise come into contact with. I bring into this point the subject of estrogen,
mm-hmm.
in the water supply. Quite simply because it is something which the filtration process of purification of water plants is not something which actually takes into account.
Can't get rid of it.
Yes, quite so. And therefore, you are actually changing a society very gradually. And there has not actually been any research into what or how that will have an effect upon the genetics of the society you are actually manipulating by unleashing these chemicals these different volumes of chemical upon that particular tribe or particular set of people. Now, I know that this is very much a blanket approach, and that, but what I am saying is that the whole structure of the infrastructure of the elevation of humanity has to be looked at most carefully when bringing about different components of manufactured situations to try to alleviate certain problems within some people, certain sections of your society, then produce other problems for the rest of it. As I say, if you have substance abuse of children, for example, because of their low achievement or their high expectation and their inability to meet with that expectation, then means you are faced with a certain selection of remedies. Either you have a high suicide rate because these children cannot cope, or you have an increased risk of substance abuse in one form or another, and that could be either through narcotics or through alcohol, through, yes, tea or coffee, or more importantly, through other forms of chemical. It may be, and I've never understood this, it may be through sniffing things.
Mm-hmm.
And bringing ethers into the physical state that otherwise should never be there. And these also are bringing alarming results.
Okay, well, we went all over the place then, didn't
we? Well, we did, yes. A little guided tour, if you like.
Gregory, could I ask, I understand
okay.
that your birthday...
Is there anybody still there, Donald?
Hello?
No, he's not there.
Hello?
I would just continue, friend.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're talking about children. That's that brings me to when children are in the womb or... How things are passed on, basically, by parents.
Yes, of course.
And nicotine as well.
Absolutely so. Yes.
So how does that work with... I mean, we all obviously know that it can happen.
Yes, because things are passed through
yeah.
the placenta wall.
Yeah.
And that various different things, of course, will have different effects.
Yeah.
You will have children who are drug dependent as soon as they are born. Or before they are born, because of the interplay between all of the dependence of the child in the uterus, its whole dependence of its world is based upon whatever the mother is taking at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally so. And of course this can have quite a dramatic effect, not only through that, but also of course through the other diseases that it will then possibly be susceptible to. It might even be to do with the way that it is formed in the womb, that it may have a susceptibility, a weakness perhaps in certain organs or whatever.
Mm. But so it's true that if your parents were alcoholics, that the chances are that this is something that could happen in later life.
Well,
hello.
If you drank
there may well be a situation. I cannot say that this will happen in every case, quite simply because it will very much depend upon the way in which the individual is able to cope with the pressures of life.
Hello.
Depends upon the environmental impact of whatever happens to them in their life. So surely it will be up to the individual. Yes, they may well have a weakness in that direction. It may be that their liver or their kidneys are not functioning, perhaps in exactly the same way, have not been actually formed in exactly the same way as someone who did not have alcoholic parents.
Hello.
Okay. If you'd like to give us a call, the phone lines are still open. We'd love to hear from you. The number is 888-268-4313. 888-268-4313. We're talking about dependent substances. Do people have addictive personalities? Are there people that are more susceptible to this sort of thing?
Yes, I would have to say so. There are addictive personalities, of course, many of them. This is not just to do with addiction of chemical substances or whatever substance. It may also be, of course, addictions to situations. It can be emotional addictions as well as abuse or as well as violence, perhaps. Some people are addicted to all kinds of different forms of situation in your environment, and simply because of the complexity, if you like, of the whole array of different problems which arrive because in the material world in which you live in, there you are faced with an array, an assortment of different energies, different situations pulling you this way and that. It simply means that instead of you acting in the way that you wish to do, you are facing a life, interacting and being reactive to life upon you.
Mm-hmm.
So this means that you are always one step behind what life has to offer you. You are not instigated, it instigates life upon you. And this in itself becomes an intrenchable view that you have of yourself. Therefore, it becomes that you are fixated upon gathering this same repeated excursion, if you like, this same repeated situation into your life, that you have to do it in order to feel that you are alive.
Yes, alive and part of it.
Yes, quite so. So do you understand what I'm saying? That, that you are then one step behind. Being that you are then one step behind the whole event means to say that you are then at risk of only ever reacting to life events which happen to you. You are never the instigator of life itself. And that is what we are trying to focus people upon in their lives, is to be the instigator of what they wish to be. Not to just be reactive to different agents upon them, which happen upon them. So that you do not just walk out into a sunny day and admire it and react to it. You actually desire to do something within it.
Yes.
To help you to change how you perceive what a beautiful day really is.
Absolutely. Yes. And not just when you've had a drink or when you've had some drugs or whatever.
Yes, quite
so. You don't need that. But obviously, this is fine. I mean, it's like I said, it's with people that haven't, say, for instance, taken alcohol at all, would not understand why you can't just don't drink.
Yes, quite so.
Just don't do it.
Yes.
Why did they, why?
Why do you have to keep on doing it?
Yes.
If you don't like it, or if it has become a problem, then just stop.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that many people will perhaps even be this way with food. You understand, it is not just something which is a narcotic. It may be to do with food, potatoes, tomatoes, whatever it is, milk. People drink milk from cattle. It is not actually necessary for you to drink milk. Far better for you to drink water than milk.
Why not milk?
Well, because milk is all very well when you are a child and you need milk to help you to continue to build calcium for the structure of your skeletal form.
Yeah.
However, after a certain time, you do not actually need it. Up to the point of puberty, perhaps, if it is something that is quite important to your life. After that, you do not actually need to have milk at all.
But what about the calcium?
Well, the calcium you can gain from other things, from other sources.
But water on your cornflakes doesn't sound very appealing.
Water on your cornflakes, I never had cornflakes, of course.
What about soya milk?
Well, soya milk itself is very good. The problem with soya is the whole product of the, and the whole system behind it means that in actual fact, the Amazon rainforest is at default of soya milk.
Oh, yeah.
That in fact, there are many places where vast fields, acres and acres and acres, mile after mile, is developed to soya bean produce. Whereas many other things could be used, could be grown, beneficial crops, organic vegetables, perhaps would be far better than to always try to develop a substitute for one thing which in any event should not be a part of the staple diet of all beings.
And of course, going back to the drugs, they're expensive and then people get hooked on them and then they go, there's the crime.
Yes, of course.
Involved.
And the crime is really to do in part with the low self-esteem that I was saying before, that I was talking about before.
Yeah.
And also to do with the disassociation with spirituality. That isn't to say that they are going to be saved by some zealous spiritual genius, but that it is something that they are actually subject to because of negativity. They have descended within their own vibration to such an extent that negativity continues to conduct their life. These beings, of course, some of them may have attachments, spirit attachments, or whatever hangers on from our side of life. They may actually, some of these may be quite criminally minded. And that, of course, presents a whole different problem, as you would see in the rescue circle scenario.
Yes, so you're saying that these attachments would drive them to take these drugs?
Well, yes, in part, because it helps them to maintain the power of conflict, of inner conflict, and so therefore unresolving their issues means that they continue to turn to the ways in which they may step outside of the reality they cannot face.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they're easier to control.
Yes, quite so.
And that's a whole another show, I think, isn't it? Spirit attachment.
Well, yes, quite
yeah.
so.
Yeah. So, any last, you know, we've got a couple of minutes left, but, I mean, is there anything else that we haven't covered that you'd like to cover?
Yes, I am sorry that I have not been held to particular forms of these different kinds of abuse. It is just that it is such a wide-ranging issue that stretches right across different societies, right across different forms of behavior, that what we are trying to point out is that there are many forms of this structure of society which have not just allowed substance abuse to continue unabated, but have actually condoned it, have, in a sense, held it within society and enabled certain factors of it to be acceptable. That it is acceptable
Hello?
To drink alcohol until you fall over.
Hello?
To a certain extent, certainly to the Republican, perhaps. To the one who is giving it, who is issuing it.
Hello?
It may be, of course, that for many alcoholics, they are kept behind closed doors. Many of them are secretive. Many people will feel they cannot venture outside because alcohol itself inebriates them to such an extent that nothing else in their life will do.
Mm-hmm.
That their central pin of their life has to be to do with a bottle or with a glass. Just the same as it is with any substance abuse. That is why drug addiction is so endemic at this present time on your society, because of failure of the presence of mind to be accepted, to have an ability to gain something further for their own self-respect. Therefore, self-respect out of the window, there is nothing else to do. It is self-defeating, of course, but that is a product of how society claims victims of certain stratas of that society. Not all people can fit into every square peg or every round hole that is labeled, that is set there for them to be in.
I think it's very sad that you know, the youngsters, they go to these raves, or even if just the clubs or whatever, and they have to take drugs to dance and to just to be happy. And
yes,
and,
quite
you
so.
Know, I find that so sad.
It is as though people have actually lost their ability to connect with their higher state. After all, dancing is a part of the higher state.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Just the same as an appreciation of music. Fine words. Beautiful world. The beauty in all that you see is not something that is hidden from you unless you hide yourself from the world. And you can do this in many different ways, by abusing yourself or by abusing others, by using your form of behavior to cloud yourself from the vision of reality that could be there to greet your day. This is something that is a part of your life that you may turn a page and open it into a new reality. You do not need all of these different distractions from life. It is because of self-belief, empowerment and honesty of that empowerment, how you really value life and what you have given to yourself this day, that is important. That isn't to say that you are selfish, but you are being selfish if you are being abusive to yourself. Because if you are abusive to yourself, the next thing you will do is be abusive to someone else. And that is in any form that it takes, in any way that it afflicts your life. Therefore, you can pass it on to someone else in another way, in another form, and make them angry at your presence, perhaps, when they should really love being in your vibration. Isn't that a better way? Better road for your spirituality, for your growth, for you as a spirit having a human existence.
Well, Gregory, I think we've come to time again. It's been absolutely delightful, as usual.
Very well, friend. With love and light, as always, we honor your path and every step you take. Tread lightly upon your world, so you may leave the lightest impression, but the greatest affection.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless, Gregory. Well, I'd like to say thank you ever so much for anybody that was listening and everybody that was listening. And thank you.
Yes, thanks, Pete. I'm sorry. Forgive me for coming online. This is Doug, and I've had a million calls here. My brother left, and he has to jump in to work some of these things. There's a man who's been calling about... Oh, just a second. I'll let you both go. I just want to thank you very much for the show.
Oh, okay.
One moment, please.
Yes, Doug speaking.
Hiya.
Yes, I'm sorry about... Thank you very much for both being on the show. I wish I could have got all these calls through, but you were getting calls for every few minutes.
Oh, really?
And I couldn't process them because I didn't really know how. This is Doug News and Don's twin brother, and
okay.
He handles this. So please excuse me, but...
My dear friend, how lovely to be able to speak with you.
Oh, it's a... Gregory, thank you kindly.
It is absolutely a pleasure, friend. No,
thank
I have
you.
Not left.
Oh,
I actually wanted to speak to you personally.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Because I felt that your vibration is such an upliftment, and it is such a great pleasure to actually view the things that you do and the way that you help people in your life.
Thank you. Thank you. That really means a lot to me. That's the way my brother and I, we've come up with a very good family. With big hearts, and we both really want to give back as much as we can in every way that we can. It makes us happy, whether it's needed or not. It's something that we do because it brings us great joy.
Joy to you, my dear friend.
Gregory, thank you, and joy to you, and I look forward to listening to all of your future telecasts.
Thank you, so. Good day.
Thank you. Good day.
So, are we off the air now?
You are right now.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.